Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies.
As a church, we've been pressing into becoming more aware of the presence of God in our everyday lives. We've heard lots of incredible testimonies over the last couple of months as to how, as a global church family, we have been experiencing more of Him in our everyday lives, individually, in our families, in our workplaces, and also obviously when we gather together corporately. In Matthew 22, when the Pharisees were talking to Jesus, asking Him, which is the greatest commandment of the law, Jesus responds this. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And as these are the foundational teachings of Jesus, we also go on to continue to cultivate a life centered around the presence of God. The question we must then ask ourselves is, how are we actually sharing His presence? How are we sharing His love and His power with others, especially to those who don't know Him? So welcome to Win Our World podcast series. And this podcast series will accompany us for the next 4 weeks as we as a global church look into moving from the manifest presence into the miraculous and winning our world for Jesus. We will be releasing multiple podcasts a week with different guests joining us right here in the studio as we hear their testimony about how they met Jesus and also chat a little bit about what it looks like for them in their real and everyday lives, often very full lives, to share about Jesus. Guys, it's our prayer that you would be encouraged, provoked, and empowered to share Jesus in your world. All right, let's jump right in. So to kick us off in our very first episode, episode zero, I have two people in the studio with me today, and that is Pastor Shu Rice and Pastor Ben Costello. Welcome.
Good to see you all.
It is good to be joined by both of you. So before we start, I guess, Sheree, I'm hosting, but this whole podcast series was really something that was on your heart, something that was to accompany what we're going to be talking about in Sunday services across the locations. Maybe you can share just a little bit more about why we're talking about from the manifest presence into the miraculous.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, I really felt like God speak to me about the nature of the glory of God not being contained, but being a conduit, people that God can flow through in people. And so the idea of the manifest presence in God, we come together, we worship, we experience His love, His goodness, His great mercy, but that is not just to be contained within our lives.
Yeah.
It is to be distributed to others. And so the heart of this is that we would become people who step out of the manifest presence of God in the moments we have with Him and into this miraculous distribution of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, His presence, and the miraculous breaking forth, healing, deliverance, salvation,
yeah,
and so much more.
We've been talking a lot about the river of God.
Yeah.
And then it has a flow.
Yeah.
And I think you were talking to us about Ezekiel, the flow out of the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the temple, it was a trickle into a stream and into a river. And then when Jesus said, "Come to those who thirst, and yeah, they drink, they'll become rivers of living water." And it was never meant to be something that we just enjoyed, but it was something to be distributed,
yeah,
and to be a flow and effect. And I love that part in Ezekiel where it says, "Wherever the river went, there was life that came."
Healing.
Yeah.
Like fish multiplied. And then there was fishermen on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it says that they cast their nets and they were catching fish.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that any byproduct of the river of God in life is that there would be fish and there'd be multiplication.
Yeah.
And that there would be many who come to know Christ.
Yeah. Larry Sparks has been talking about that when he was with us recently, saying that it's still good to have, we love the presence of God and the glory of God coming in services, but if there's no translation into salvation, he was questioning the attributing of the word revival to that.
Yeah.
And just saying there has to be a marker of salvation in those things. I think it's so timely as well that we're having this conversation because in March, when you were with us, then you were talking about even just what you have sensed God doing in the nation of Australia in this moment, really captivated our hearts. Like you were talking about just the openness and receptivity of people to the gospel. So can you just share with us, everyone listening, a bit more about that?
Yeah, because I'm an Aussie. I've lived out of country for 13, 14 years now, but
I come back here 3 or 4 times a year. Norm. Mm-hmm. And when I come back, you know, I'm here for a few reasons, obviously family and mm-hmm. all that kind of thing, ministering, coffee, good coffee. We carry that revelation here.
Amen.
But I'm also every day trying to preach the gospel to somebody. I'm always trying to listen to God's heart for someone. And, you know, as I grew up as an evangelist here, I'd preach every day and in Oz, and I'd read my Bible out loud in the buses or in the city mall. And I'd always try and win people to Jesus. And it wasn't always easy. You know, it was like some people go, you know, mate,
yeah.
they'd give me a, you know, kind of a get away from me in other language. I won't use the language here. But, you know, it was a bit tough at times. Yeah. And Australians can be very raw,
yeah.
you know, and very real. Now, mate, I'm not a Christian. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that, you know, strong. And recently, just in the last 18 months, something has shifted. Mm. I believe what's happening is the Lord is moving on the prayers of hundreds and thousands of people across Australia who've been crying out to God saying, save our nation, touch our nation, move on these people. And so I remember I was up in the Sunshine Coast and it really started for me, it really hit home on one day when three people were just wide open for the gospel. And I was like, man, and they were so just open to chat. Like one, the first guy who was a tradie and he said, it's really weird you're telling me this. Mm. He said about God, I told him about Jesus, said, God loves you, you know. And then I said, do you believe in God? Just a simple question.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't do that enough when we share the gospel. We just share the gospel.
True.
But we don't actually interact.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a little bit weird, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because people should, they're like us. They want to talk.
Yeah.
But even if they want to say, no, I don't really believe that because yeah. I was hurt by religion.
Yeah.
Well, at least there you have some way to
yeah.
posture the conversation out into religion can hurt people, but Jesus
yeah.
never did, you know?
Yes, yeah.
At least you can go somewhere.
Yeah.
Instead of sort of just telling them what they need to do. And so I told this guy, I said, you know, God, obviously, do you believe in God? And he goes, this is really weird. He goes, I've been looking up online Deepak Chopra and all these new age people.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, he's a tradie. Like he's a regular Aussie. Yeah. He doesn't yeah. look like a spiritual guru or whatever.
No, 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 no.
He's just there. He's not like, you know.
Contemplative.
He doesn't look like he's on a mountain somewhere meditating. He's on top of a ladder shooting nails into a wound probably.
Yeah.
And so he was just open and he started to say, I've been searching for something. He goes, I'm so empty. My girlfriend left me. And then he goes, this is really weird. I have one Christian friend in my life and they go to a youth. I think he called it something different. Like they go to some like young people's group. Like he's
so no weird. Youth. I love it. I love it.
You know, young adults. And he was like 22, 23. And he goes, they've asked me to come. And I was like, yeah. I said, you should go. And I said, I felt from God to stand here and wait to talk to you. And he goes, I can't believe this. And he freaked out. We talked for nearly 30 minutes. Like, and then the same day, more and more. And then the same week, then the same 2 week period. Then I came back again, the same thing again. And I'm just finding that Australians are wide open to the gospel, even on the planes when I've been talking to them when I fly over. I'm like, what has happened? Yeah. It's God answering the cry of his people, answering his own heart cry for us to be saved. It's greater than our cry to him.
Yeah.
So he's more desperate than we are for him to be saved, you know? And so I'm just seeing this massive shift take place. So what do? Our response is, if God is moving, we put the sails up.
Mm-hmm.
We say, if he's moving, now we participate.
Yeah.
We get involved in this and we start to learn how to share the gospel in an easy way, how to do it in a non-pressuring way, but from a heart of love and compassion for Aussies.
Yeah.
And I believe we're going to see the biggest harvest in this season that we've seen in literally probably hundreds of years since our nation was probably founded. So yeah, I'm really ready for it.
Yeah.
I would say even just we have, as Middle School of Spirit, have a lot of students that go out on the street regularly.
Yeah.
And the testimonies that they come back with would reflect exactly what you're saying. Like, even when we went out a couple of times with Jeremiah, like, I think we had one guy who had, it was a demonic manifestation, but other than that, everyone let us pray for them.
And yeah.
They were so happy to just hear,
yeah.
like, we went into this Richmond's a great area to evangelize. There's a lot of need. There was like a sex toy shop, and I took one of the girls who'd come for the first time. I was like, we're gonna go in there and we're gonna have a chat to the girl who's working in there. And she was like, I was like, come on, it'll be fine. So we go in and the lady at the desk, and I'm like, hey, like, my name's Zara, I just had a chat with her or whatever. I'm like, how long are you working here for? I said, look, we're just praying for people for healing today. Like, we believe Jesus heals, we're seeing him heal, we're just praying for healing. I said, is there anything that you need healing for? She's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. She's like, that's what, she's like, I hurt my back a couple of days ago. Would you pray for my back? So we just prayed for her back. We didn't see anything happen like in that moment. But she, like, as we left, she's just like, that's amazing. Do you guys just do this all the time? Like, do you just want? So it was like, even in the places where you feel like maybe that there would be some kind of kickback, there was so much openness to hearing. And
sorry.
Bless you.
Fine. It's an outpouring. I've been a little bit under the weather, but I'm coming over it. Healing. The more you talk,
speak getting, healing in Jesus'
name. Yeah, the more you talk, is healing so free.
But it's been, it has been like that, even for students to see that kind of stuff happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do feel the same. I feel like even just a couple of years ago, like when you guys did Awakening.
Yeah.
2018.
2018, yeah.
Even when we're on the streets in 2018, it felt so much different than now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. Like, when we first started New School of Spirit, we had, I think it was like about 12 students initially that came into the first year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, we didn't do activation as part of every week. We did activation as the end of the subject of evangelism.
Okay.
And it was like this one weekend that we were going to go out. Students were freaking out.
Okay.
Like, freaking out.
Sure.
Because when they went out, there was this expectation of rejection, this expectation of all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus tells us to prepare for persecution.
Yes.
Right. Prepare for those things.
Yeah.
Directly after, he says, go preach the gospel.
Oh, he's right.
You know, it's direct after that. But it was really interesting to see, like, the change in the people of Australia for an appetite and an openness for things. Whereas it used to be, man, shut down.
Yeah.
If you keep all that yourself, I'm not going to just, you know.
Yeah, 2020 did a lot of damage, but it also did a lot of good. Because what it showed people is that there's a brevity and briefness in life. There's an insecurity of life that it needs to be filled. And people got very internal. And they find out what's in there, and the darkness can't be covered up all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So it did us a bit of a favor in that way. It helps people to seek God.
Yeah.
In fact, they said that the Google searches went up, I think it was 150 times. How do I pray?
Yep.
How do I pray for protection? You know, so people are searching even if they don't know they are.
Yes, for sure. Definitely in Melbourne, I think that was a factor. Before we had, you had people who I guess could control a lot of their life, you know, fairly affluent. There was, you know, why do I need God kind of conversation. But I think COVID was really good in shaking some of that. And people realized like, oh gosh, like I'm not in control of everything.
Yeah.
And so there was really an openness to the gospel message. It's good.
Love it.
So we're also talking about testimonies. This podcast, we will share a lot of different people for sharing their testimony of how they met Jesus, and then also what it looks like for them to share about him in their everyday life. I just think there's something so powerful in a testimony that releases something as well. So maybe, Ben, you could share a little bit.
Yeah, so my testimony. How did I meet Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say it like this. I want to give a bit of a runner. I had a praying mother, you know.
Come on.
And I want to say, because people are going to watch this podcast, they're going to be like, well, I want to get into evangelism, or I'm not sure how to do it. Well, great place to start. You should do the actual sharing of the gospel, witnessing the gospel. Learn how to do it because it's so easy. But also a great place to start is pray for one unsaved person in your family or your life. And just go after them in prayer. Like, don't pray like once, oh, Father, same. I hope that it all turns out great. But really stick on them. And my mom did that with me like a dog with a bone. She, every time I saw her, she'd preach to me and say, you're going to preach around the world. God has shown me, and she'd prophesy over me. And I'm like, I don't want to preach anywhere. I don't want you to be in my life. Like I was the opposite of what the Lord wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And so I was exceptionally broken as a person. I was also at the time doing small-time criminal things. And to make money, I didn't want to really work. I wanted to be a professional pool player who dealt drugs and just doing all the things that a prodigal son would do and worse. Like, you know, I can't even get into it here, but I'll just say this. The typical Australian guy who goes out, does a line of cocaine, gets very drunk, gets very angry, gets very bitter, cheats on his girlfriend. That was me. That was my life, you know. But I had this genesis in my family of my mom and dad seeking and serving God. So I knew about God, but I was willfully rejecting the Lord and going against God's will. And, you know, I came from a bit of a broken situation. My father committed suicide. And so I had this sort of grief in me, an understanding there is a God probably, but a complete blindness to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night I was at the club that I used to go to all the time in Geelong. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, or close to 4 a.m., my girlfriend worked there. And I just saw everything clearly. It was like somebody took this veil from me. And I saw all these people just thumping music. You can imagine, right? Dark nightclub. And thumping music, and people are wearing, you know, next to nothing, rubbing against each other, trying to find value in each other.
Yeah.
And I just saw it. I'm like, this is so empty. Like, what are we doing here? And I didn't regularly think this way. And so, you know, I was trying to fit in with everybody and make money, have wads of cash on me and act like really, yeah, I was just living like with a mask on, trying to please these friends who I had that were older men. So all my friends were older, like 8 to 10 years older than me, basically, because I think I was searching for like a surrogate father, you know, to be fathered again. And so these guys are deeply sinful people. And in this club, it was like God opened my eyes and I had ecstasy on me. And my girlfriend worked at that bar and I was like, what are we doing here? And I threw the ecstasy in the crowd and I just could see this is all a search for significance.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Like, why do we need cocaine up our nose?
Yeah.
Kids aren't like that. I was starting to think very clearly, but I was also very angry because I realized I'm in this.
Mm.
Like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? So I went to my girlfriend. I told her, I said, this is all fake, Alina. I said, she says, what do you mean fake? She says, what are you upset about now? And because I was very volatile back then. And I said, look at this. It's all fake. Why are we here? Why are these people doing this? And I said, why am I here? I said, I'm going home. And, you know, I used some other words, I guess, but I was sinful, very deeply sinful. So when I got home, I caught a cab, I got home. I did what I always did in the morning. I hated light. I always used to go to bed around 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up at like 2 p.m. That was my daily and regular life. And I lit up a cigarette and I was sitting in my house in the lounge room alone. Nobody there at all in the house. I lived with another drug dealer, very bad house. Very, very dark place. She was into drug dealing and witchcraft. It was really bad. And so at that time, 4:15 or so in the morning, with a cigarette in my hand, I just remember feeling on the left side of the house that something filled the house, like quickly, came in like that. And I was scared. I remember feeling a bit scared. And all of a sudden, inside me, internally, not on the outside, but inside me, I heard a voice speak to me, but it wasn't my voice. The best way I explain that is like, you know, when you're walking, like, I need to get milk, and your head tells you the thought, I need to get milk. That's your conscious voice thinking for you. I need to text so-and-so bang. You don't have to say it out loud. You hear your own voice inside. I didn't hear my conscience. I heard another voice of a man. And he spoke to me. He was like, bam, like that. It went right through
wow.
all through me. And I had a cigarette in my hand. The Lord is not afraid of where people are.
Yeah.
We're afraid of sin. God's not afraid of it.
Well, okay.
And so, as he spoke to me, basically, to cut a long story short, for 45 minutes, I could speak to the Lord. And I could hear him like we're talking. And
wow.
It was really wild. And he started saying things to me that you're going to be like Paul. And he said, you'll travel around the world. And he said, you'll preach my gospel. And he said, I'll have mercy on multitudes because of the mercy I've shown you. And I was like, man, I didn't really understand what he was saying to me fully. But I knew I was so broken and I could feel this deep, weighty love. And he asked me to follow him. He didn't ask me to pray a prayer. It was more of a conversation between me and the Lord. And at the end of that, I knew I was different. I don't know how I knew that, but I just knew internally something had changed in me because of my response to God's voice. And so my girlfriend came home at like right after 5 and she saw me and she heard 2 words out of my mouth. I never said ever to her. I said, Alina, I grabbed her. I said, Alina, I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. She goes, well, why? I said, God spoke to me. Jesus spoke to me. And she thought I was like hallucinating.
Tripping,
And I said, no, God spoke to me. I said, I don't know what's happened, but God talked to me. And I said, he's told me to read the Bible and he told me to follow him and to trust in him. And I was like, I told her, I said, I want to follow the Bible. I want to read the Bible. And, you know, she's like, all right, okay. You know, she didn't know what to do. Then I got a little, Gideon's Bible. Someone gave me a little Gideon's Bible. And that was it for me. I was reading the scriptures like 4 or 5 hours a day in this little Gideon's Bible. And I was still dealing drugs. So people would come to my house and then get a 10 pack of ecstasy and I'd give it to them. And then I'd say, sit down. And I'd start reading the Proverbs. You know, so it was Psalms, Proverbs and Matthew, or like New Testament. And so I'd read them Proverbs and they're like, oh, okay. And then freak out, you know. I met the Lord, genuinely met Jesus himself. And I didn't know after that any rules, any religious things. I just knew he told me to follow him and to read the word. And I was really keen to find out more about Paul because he mentioned Paul's name. And so I started really reading a lot, like Romans. And I love Romans. And I love Paul's letters, Ephesians. Colossians was my favorite book back then. And Matthew, those two. And then I read And I read the manual, and the manual says that everybody there that he called started telling everybody. And so I did the same. And I mean, I was like Jesus on loudspeaker, you know, to every person and to every scenario. So we had a lot of bad criminal friends and people who were really rough. And I just started going down them, you know. I turned a lot of people off probably, but I also got like tons of my friends saved.
Wow.
I remember I tricked one of my friends. He was Italian. He loved mafia stuff. I tricked him to come hear this guy who was an ex-mafia guy talking, and he's a Christian now. I said, oh, come to this meeting. The guy was in the mafia and he came. And at the end of the meeting, the guy said, stand up if you don't know Jesus. Oh, sorry. He said, everybody stand up. And everyone stood up. And then he said, sit down if you're already a Christian. So all the people who were non-Christians were left standing. And I was like, wow, that's so bold. My friend was next to me standing. And then he said, he looked at him and he said, now all of you, he goes, you've heard what I shared with you tonight. And he goes, this God is real. You either choose him or you reject him. And he was really amazing evangelist in that way. And my friend that night gave his life to God. So I was just doing what I saw in scripture. We should preach the gospel. We should love the lost. The message of the gospel got to me, to my mom, to my family, because somebody said yes and paid a bias and to proclaim him, you know? And so, and obviously the first person I wanted to really see get deep again was my mother.
Yeah.
So that was how I changed. And no one told me, like, you're an evangelist. I just knew I needed to preach the gospel. And I just had this deep sense in me that whatever is written here is the way.
Yeah.
You know, before I met any, no, you don't do that. You need to calm down. You know, you're on a honeymoon period. Before I heard these stupid statements.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is a stupid statement.
Yes.
You're in a honeymoon period. Life gets better and better with Jesus. You've got more love in him.
Yeah.
We should become more zealous year by year, not less.
Yeah.
Not religious heretics. And we should become full of God's spirit year by year. So that was what led me to preach the gospel. And that led me, as the Lord told me, around the nations of the world. And I've seen so many people delivered of demons in so many countries and set free and receiving Jesus Christ, like you told me. And so that's how I met it.
I love that you say it's just like, this is the manual.
Yeah.
And go to, we had this family in our youth group. So the mother was homeschooling the two daughters.
Yeah.
And she didn't like some of the agendas in the homeschooling material. So she actually swapped out to like a Christian homeschooling material.
Nice.
Through reading it, she gets saved. She meets Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And then the two daughters then through the material, same deal, meet Jesus through this homeschooling material.
Wow.
And then they don't know any Christians. Then at work, the mum starts sharing with one of her colleagues, and the colleague's like, oh, you need to meet my friend. They go to this church or whatever. So connects them to someone who comes here. So they start coming here, but I think it was only maybe a couple of months in, they were sharing testimonies at youth group, and the two young girls are like, oh yeah, we saw a miracle this week. And they got them to share, and they said, yeah, we were reading in the Bible where it says like Jesus prayed for the blind and they were healed. And our mum wears glasses and we didn't like that she had to wear glasses. It was like annoying. So we prayed for her and her eyes got healed. And they just shared it like
nonchalant.
Yeah, like,
how long?
We did it. We did what it said and it happens. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole week, just, whoa. But uncomplicated.
Yeah.
Just uncomplicated.
Yeah, when I first read the Bible, I was like, that's why I had faith.
Yeah.
I'm like, everybody believes Jesus, he said, you can move mountains. Like, I read faith. I didn't read unbelief.
Yeah.
It was in, I'm going to say this lovingly because I'm a church pastor, but it was in church circles that I learned unbelief and doubt and complication.
Yeah.
It wasn't here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, you have a similar story of like just even sharing like as a child. So you've told your testimony a couple of times of meeting the Lord when you're five, in a dream, and having a visitation, and then sharing, maybe you can even just share briefly about that in case there's people who haven't heard, and then just your, I guess, passion to want everyone to know who you met.
Yeah, I think, again, just to reiterate, I think it's a byproduct of being Jesus.
Yeah, it is.
You want to share it with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a five-year-old, no one sat me down and said, thou must share. Like, I had an encounter with Jesus in a dream where he returned. The sound of a trumpet happened. Was on my bed. Woke up and was like, I need to get outside. And went to go outside. Couldn't get out the back door. It was jammed. Finally got out there. My family are hovering in the clouds with Jesus. And he looks at me. I'm like, wait for me. And he looks at me. He says, you're too late. I was like, what do you mean you're too late? He's like, you're too late. And it just brokenness. Like, just... he was so devastated that I was too late. And I was like...
That's why you were five.
But yeah.
Wow.
And to that, there's a multitude behind me being cognizant of it.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I woke from that dream. I ran into my mom's bedroom. I told her the dream. She led me in the most probably simplest prayer as a five-year-old to accept Jesus into my heart. And from that moment on, I was the kid in kids' church. Who wants to get saved? Me.
Well, I'm every weekend, every
service, I gave my life to the Lord.
Come on.
But after that, I couldn't help but tell everybody.
Yeah.
And so every person I met, I remember leading my best friend to the Lord. I remember leading my other friend to the Lord. Came to kids' church, Royal Rangers. Came into a kids' church service. She got saved. In the same service, they decided it'd be a good idea to do baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they asked people if they want to receive the Holy Spirit to come out. And so we went out of this room. We sat at the top of the stands. I thought it was like Duck, Duck, Goose because they had someone go around and lay
hands. Oh, that's so good.
It was loud. And they just came around and laid hands on us. And instead of Duck, Duck, Goose, it was like releasing a tongue.
Spirit and fire.
Yeah. And my friends got filled with the Holy Spirit on the same day that she got saved.
Wow, come on.
And so it was like... it was like all of a sudden there was this awareness that God loved people.
Yeah.
He wanted them to be ready.
Yeah.
And to know him. And so I just was like, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And so that was just my whole life mission and ambition. And to be honest, probably to my detriment in education system, because I was like, well, there's no other purpose for living. People just need to know Jesus. So I didn't have like a career path planned and mapped out. It was just, I'm going to tell Jesus. I was busy running outreach and skate park events, different things to reach people with this good news and gospel.
Amen.
I wanted to be in a band and make Jesus famous because it was the forum where you get the message out, you know? And so there was a whole bunch of things in that season of my life where I was like, people just need to know Jesus. And we have a responsibility to share that. And I think one of the things that really frustrated me, if I'm really honest, in church, as a 15-year-old, I remember being on a leadership team in a youth ministry and being a part of a church and watching new people walk into the church, never been to church before, walking in, and the church people just going, us four and no more. They had their little church clique, but they didn't want to connect with the new person that came through. That everyone knows, nobody knows them. They just walked in.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff just used to really agitate and irritate me to the point where it was like, church, we got to wake up. Yeah. There is a people group that need to know Jesus, and we've got the message. We've got the answer. And so for me, I guess that was probably the driving force of having a revelation of Jesus at such a young age.
Sure.
When, you know, from a kid, like, oh man, I can literally see all the different kids that I led to the Lord through all the different stages through high school. It's my only ambition, mission was, hey, do you know Jesus? Let's go. Come to youth ministry. Come to this youth rallyism. Come like,
yeah.
And get them into a space.
I want to say, can I touch on something?
Yeah.
Because you made a really good point there. Like, I think it would be easy for somebody watching a podcast like this to go, wow, these guys have these supernatural encounters.
Mm.
But what you're actually talking about is back to what you shared. This is Matthew 22.
Yeah.
This is loving your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. This is not evangelism.
That's it.
This is not evangelists. When you saw Jesus returning or coming back and he said, "Me too late," he didn't say you're an evangelist.
Yeah.
He just showed you the truth of eternity.
See,
and he made you care.
Yeah.
And so this is not like hard or you don't need some massive encounter.
No.
You just need to ask God, please turn my heart on. Take the numbness away to the world and eternity. Let me see eternity. Because this is not evangelism. This is the second commandment.
Yep. Yeah.
And true love, you've got to share the gospel.
Yeah.
You have to. Like it would be unloving to know if someone's headed to hell who's close, at least in close proximity with their life. And not really genuine. Which means our hearts go numb.
Yes.
So we can get a heart of fire again.
Yeah. I think even when you're touching on prayer, then I think that's like a huge part of that. Yeah. Of just praying that like the Lord would do something in our heart. Like that I would feel his heart.
Yes.
For those people.
Yes.
And that we would even for our nation, that like we would get the same heart that God has for our nation.
Yeah.
And that he really... like, he loves the people. He loves all people. But he loves that he really is doing something so unique in our nation at this time, and that his heart so burns that all would come to know him. And so I feel like my journey is being even in that space of prayer of like an encounter with him, but that he would truly break my heart for what breaks his.
Yes.
And that I think in that when you capture... when God does a transformation work in your heart and you can see someone else as he sees them, or you feel what he feels for the nation or the city, there's no striving in that. There's no trying. There's no striving. It just becomes an overflow of your heart. Yeah.
And I think even just a touch on that, you know, Jesus said, pray for the laborers.
Yes. Yeah.
The disciples, he says to them, pray for laborers. Like you are the laborers. We're the laborers. And so that first point of prayer is, God, change me.
Yeah.
Change my heart. Change my view. Take off the glasses that I have on that are allowing me just to walk past.
Yeah.
Knowing they're going to eternity and not thinking about it. And actually give me eyes to see it.
Yes.
Give me an ear to hear what you want to say.
Yeah.
And I think leaning into that place and prayer of, God, change me and help give me the words that Paul said, pray that I might speak boldly.
Yeah.
This good news. You know,
yeah.
There is this sense of leaning into him for his heart.
We need it.
Leaning into him for the words to speak and leaning into which what he gives to us. Like I said to our guys like this, I say, you know, you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Like God just like came to say, as a son or a daughter, keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I go back to my mom's, I still have keys. I go to the pantry, I go to the fridge, and I just open it. And sometimes without even thinking about it, or without even wanting something, it's just
byproduct.
And so like the spiritual gifts are there for us to access.
Yeah, they are.
It's on the pantry.
Yeah.
Like just grab it and you know, and there are some that we need to ask for and to lean into. Mum always had a special box, special treats. You could have them, but it was at a certain time. Yeah. And there's certain things that God has for certain times that I believe he just wants to unleash.
Yes.
And I think one of those things is miracles right here.
Totally.
Like the miraculous signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Not to like, you know, in Jesus' time, it attracts a crowd. Not for that sake. But for the power of God to be made manifest in somebody's life, that they would have their body transformed.
Yes.
That they would be so loved by God that which was wrong is now made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, anyway, I'm all about it. I'm like, come on. We as kids have access.
Yes.
We've got access.
I think in that's a really powerful thing that you're saying, because we need to say yes to that access.
Mm.
And I think some of the things that hinder us is actually, it's really... like we can know we have that, but we have to let go of selfishness a bit in our generation, because Western Christianity is a very much a feed me Christianity.
So good, yeah.
It's not necessarily I love God back in the way that he wants to be loved.
Yeah.
It's I praise him and that'll do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so part of this is also praying, God, give me a heart, not just to do the right thing, like you said, but give me your heart. Let me love you. Let me follow that command to love you. Let this be an act of my love for you. If you see it that way, it becomes less of something even where we have to do this because it's written in the scriptures. We get to do this as an act of love to God.
Yeah.
It's our response to him.
Yeah.
And our response is we care about what he cares about.
Yeah.
And we access that pantry full of miracles because he cares about that individual. Even if I don't.
Yeah.
Like as much as he does.
Yeah.
He cares. And so we need to really kind of come out of that selfish shell a bit.
Mm, so good.
And just enjoy giving an offering of love to Jesus through the gospel to somebody else.
Yeah.
And if we see it that way, I think, and we see it like that we're equipped, like you're saying, like we have the access to do miracles. We're equipped. We're not going out there with nothing to give.
Sin.
We have much to give.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Power that nobody else can access.
Yeah.
Healings of backs and healings of milk problems or whatever, lactose intolerance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
From the biggest to the smallest. But we have to get it out of ourselves a bit of like, Christianity is about me receiving everything.
Well,
it's a really kiss him back.
Yeah.
And we don't just kiss him by praise songs.
Yes.
We kiss him by following what's important to us.
That's it.
And we can ask God today, if anyone's watching, you can ask the Lord and say, give me a heart to love who you love, to love what you love. And help me to be a bit less selfish. I know I was so selfish as a Christian for so many years. I think we've all been, especially in our life, you know, things in our cultures.
Yes.
Our cultures very much feed me,
yes.
Fulfill me, satisfy me, scroll.
Yeah.
I get what I can get out of this life.
That's it. I think it's like performance Christianity.
Yeah.
I perform, I come to church,
yeah.
Do my thing versus a worship lifestyle, not worship in a moment in the sense of it.
Yes.
A worship lifestyle where everything I do is a lay down runner for Jesus.
Amen.
Is because I love him.
Like, yes.
Everything. Not just that moment in church where I have a moment, and, you know, and they're all good.
Oh,
I call them tickle me elbow moments, right? They're awesome. And I
could call me Elmer. Yeah, that's
but,
just.
But I can remember having those encounters where God was doing something in me, and it was, and you know, you hunger for those things as you feed on those things, you hunger for them.
Yeah.
But if that's the only thing we hunger for, that's like just hungering for chocolate. Yeah. You need a nutritious diet. You can't just
do me right now and say that.
But so we need that. Yes.
Yes.
And but our lifestyle needs to be lived out of worship.
Yeah.
And not out of performance.
I love worship. I'm a worshiper.
Yeah.
But I feel when I sit with somebody on the street, no one can see me there in Germany or somewhere, or in Australia, no one can see me. I don't do a selfie with each one, most of my Insta.
Yeah.
You know, like that's another big trap. Yeah. Like everything, we post everything.
Yeah.
Like here I am again in my secret place. Like give me a my secret place is not a secret. So anyway, but I love when I sit with somebody and just hear about their life. Well, you know, I used to believe in God, but my mom died, and I can feel so much the pleasure of God. Like so much, like I'm ministering to his heart.
Yeah.
Like this is worship.
Yeah.
Loving the lost is worship.
Yeah.
It's who he loves. And what we forget too is we were all once lost.
Yeah. Nah, totally.
Churchianity convinced us like, oh, we were always saved. No, we weren't.
Yeah.
Somebody like my mom, like your mom, someone prayed diligently for you to come out of darkness. Someone saw the heart of God for you.
Yes. It's like sometimes I feel like we love Jesus. But in the Western church, I think if you're talking about like the underground church, that's like these conversations aren't even conversations. But in the Western church, we love Jesus, but then we also love convenience and we also love comfort. And it just isn't like that. Like has to be a consecration of our hearts that he is the only one above convenience, above, like it has to cost us something. Like worship, and he's worth it all. He's worth anything we could ever give him. But it has to cost us something.
Yes.
And comfort and convenience is like the smallest start of the process, but sometimes we merely, we get stuck there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that we've touched on a prayer a bit. It's a really good thing for those watching just to pray. God, give me a heart for people. Give it to me, Lord. Like, you know, desensitize you. Let me feel what you feel at times. And let me follow also by choice, because part of love is discipline. You know, there's bits of love that feel like really gooey, I guess, let's say, like that.
Yeah.
Like when I go into the secret place to worship, I don't feel a striding. I feel like, oh, this is good because it's gooey in time. Like you're tipping me on, like, I'm going to have to get that up again. But I'm in a dance since leading to Jordan, I'm going to have to get... It's a tickle me Elmo moment here. I'm getting tickled by Jesus. But let's say it like this. I think that discipline, like love is the choice. Like when you are married, you don't wash the dishes because you're like, the dishes must be washed.
Yes.
You do it though out of a choice of like, I love my wife. I love a clean house. I love to bless her. I'm going to buy her flowers. You're thinking in a different way. You're thinking of love. But it does require discipline. It requires going beyond convenience. I remember the saying I heard some evangelists once say, like, you know, much of the church comforts the afflicted. My job is to afflict the comfortable. You know, like, his job was to stir the comfortable. And so I think that in the discipline of saying, God, I don't feel every day to love the lost, but I'm choosing to follow the word of God. I'm choosing to obey. And out of this choice, this is my love for you.
Yeah.
And I see love. I'd break it down to one word, choices.
Yep.
Love is choices.
Yep.
I'm in the secret place by choice. I'm being drawn and I say yes by choice. And my yes to God, that yes and choice, is my love for God.
Sound.
And that's the way we love the lost, is we choose to love the lost by making a choice every day.
Yeah.
And God will bless your choice. He will back you up because he's so concerned about the lost.
Yes.
It's good. I think when you love too, like, you don't love to your convenience. Like when people are in love, it's like they're happy to be inconvenienced.
Yes.
They're happy to like, oh, just wait here. Like, no, it's a next half an hour. Don't worry. Like, no problem. They're not worried so much about their comfort. They're thinking about the other person. Like it goes. So I feel like even in our own hearts, like as we pray, it's like, Lord, help me love you well.
Yes.
Like to come up and above. Like when you think about, that kind of love that is like, you know, even teenage love, like, okay, I'll just wait here for like 1 hour. Maybe she'll turn up It's so much beyond. Yeah. It's so much beyond comfort and convenience. So even in our prayers, like, soften my heart, but actually let me love you, God. Like when I really love Jesus, you know, those things kind of fall away as well.
Yeah.
There is definitely the discipline component. Like that is a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's like, help me just fall more in love with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I say discipline, we have an interpretation of like army discipline.
Yeah.
What I mean is the choice.
Yeah.
So you're in love with God, but yet you still feel I'm in a hurry, but okay. Yes,
yeah.
I stop.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by discipline.
That's good.
And same with worship. Like sometimes in prayer, you're like, I don't have much time or whatever. You just stop for a minute and just
yes.
to stop. And the Bible says we have the fruit of self-control. And so the Spirit's fruit is, I will help you to control yourself
yes.
to the will of God.
Yes.
You know? And that's kind of what I mean. Not an army discipline, not a rigid discipline,
yeah.
but just a discipline of love to say, I love God enough to stop.
That's so good. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we could probably keep talking.
We could.
The good hour. Pray for them. Go, Ben, you kick us off.
All right. If you're watching wherever you are around the world, we love you and we think that God's grace on your life is so valuable that we wanted to do this podcast to bless you and to help train you and maybe equip you to get over the fear of man, just get into the freedom of loving Jesus and loving who he loves. So I pray for you, if you're watching right now, that the Lord's Spirit would come over your heart and maybe just warm and bring back to life any area that's gone a bit numb to the unsaved or a little bit insensitive. Father, would you resensitize their love for you as their love for those who you love, for their unsaved family and friends, for strangers they're going to meet. And my Lord, use them. And we thank you for what Cherie shared with the miracles. Use them with the treasure chest of supernatural power on their life, the Holy Spirit moving through their life. Use them. Let them see the miracles of God through simple prayers. And God, we pray most of all that out of that yes, many, many will turn to you, Jesus. From those watching, that many will turn in their life to Jesus through their life. We bless you guys in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Well, we know that out of this podcast series, there's going to be a lot of different testimonies about even just maybe for yourself, like your heart has become softer just as we've been praying, or maybe you shared for the first time, or maybe you took a step of faith and prayed for someone for healing. And whatever the testimony is, we want to hear it. We want to release it. The word testimony actually means do it again, God, in the same authority and the same power. And so your testimony is important. It can be someone else's breakthrough. And so we want to actually hear, please, we want to hear so we can share it and we can see God do even more. So you can get in contact with us by DMing us on Instagram. You can visit our website, newbie.church/pray, and you can share your testimony. Or contact any of us, contact Pastor Cherie, contact any of us. We want to hear just what the Lord is doing and what he has done in and through your life. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you for the next podcast soon. See ya.